at least what we educate a lot around it at RISE is having patience and holding space for where people are. I think that's why a lot of parents want their kids in our world, is because then it, when I hold that standard, of course, my staff does as well. Like, we know you can do better than that. And if you can't do better right now, we're going to teach you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, which is fine.
Give you the space, be patient enough to help.
We're going to love you there. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to love you there, but we're also going to elevate you because you do have to live in a world that isn't going to tolerate some of these things. And so we've got to help you. Yes, we're going to love you no matter what you do, but we are going to ask you to step up too.
Hey, welcome to the Most High Show. My name is Kale. On the ones and twos, I've switched roles with my friend and mentor, Christian. We've got a couple friends in the audience. And tonight we have a very special guest, Nicole DeWard, here tonight. So Nicole's passion for creating life transformation for clients and health professionals is the reason she created Shine Health and Wellness. Her wellness studio has been a light in her community for the past 10 years, combining fitness, nutrition, and therapy in an intimate environment. Has allowed clients to gain success in their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Nicole and her team of trainers, loving accountability, encourage clients to become the best version of themselves. She is also the founder of RISE Coffee and Tea, a nonprofit coffee shop in Roswell, Georgia, that employs extraordinary individuals with special needs, like her daughter Becca, to impact her local community in a unique way. She also is recently certified through Ulan Nutrition Systems to add NRT to her list of offerings. Two of her children with special needs have been under care for 5 years and found great results in improved cognitive skills, clarity, skin conditions, and gut health.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
It's a lot going on.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
I wasn't planning on starting with this, but I'm really intrigued. What's NRT?
NRT. NRT stands for Nutrition Response Testing. So it's a way to assess the needs of the body through muscle testing. And so Ulan has a very specific protocol that we utilize in order to see if the systems of the body are open, and then checking different organ systems to see where there's deficiencies or what we call stressors to the body. And so in Becca's case, Becca has Down syndrome, and Becca has had, her quick story, she has had a ganglion cyst on her wrist for 10 years and also suffers with a... it's called hydronatus superbita that happens under it's in the hair follicles that happens in her armpits. And so she's almost 22. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years ago, she started telling us how she was just so tired. Her eyes were so tired. And we're like, are you not sleeping well? But it was more than not sleeping well. So the practitioner that I was seeing, I brought Becca to her, and we found that she had I actually took her to the doctor first. Mm-hmm. And then she got some blood work, came back that her neutrophils and her white blood cells were really low, and which typically looks like leukemia. And we were like, leukemia? What? No, which is actually very typical with Down syndrome. It's something that's a risk. And so we went to our practitioner, and she that does NRT, and she found that she had a viral load that was causing some of these issues. And she also was not processing rice and not had high levels of arsenic in her body. And we're like, yeah, she's been gluten-free for 10 years, so we eat everything with rice. And so we stopped the rice and put her on a supplement protocol. And 8 weeks later, she was supposed to see the hematologist due to the blood work that had come back. And so we had blood work the day before the appointment, and they called and said, don't bother coming in, her blood work is completely normal. Well, we knew that was happening. One, a lot of prayer was going into that, but two, her ganglion cyst was gone within 3 weeks of doing the protocol. Wow. And then her armpits had subsided as well, the cyst that was in her armpits. And so we knew that her body was healing, whether it was from just the removal of rice or it was just the supplement protocol. We don't, in NRT, we kind of say, we don't really care what exactly was the one thing, because anything can cause anything. Sure. So what we do is address the stressors that are causing issues in the body and then give them supplemental help through nutrition, lifestyle, and diet changes.
So starting with a process of elimination to find the root causes.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So I went, after I did NRT, I actually went back to school and graduated this past June with my nutritional therapy certification as well. So that kind of goes in tandem with NRT. So.
Congrats.
Yeah, I'm just hungry to learn all the time, adding to my husband's like, please don't do anything else.
one more, sir.
I know.
you touched on it a little bit, but, you know, would you say your children sparked your passion to begin helping people transform their lives? And
actually, it was my mom.
Oh.
My mom was actually my inspiration for that in the sense that growing up with my mom, we always did lots of different diets. We did Richard Simmons. We peed on keto sticks. We did Weight Watchers. We did Leslie Sansa and Walk Away the Pounds. Like, I just remember being so young doing all these things. We would get up really early in the morning. I had a 0 hour in high school, and we got up, I think it was 5 a.m. and walked our neighborhood together. My mom was always trying to lose weight. And my grandmother was obese my whole life too. And so I knew that my mom didn't want to turn out like my grandma. And then I was not turn out like my mom. And so, my husband and I got married when I was 19 and I had 4 children by the time I was 25 and knew that I had baby weight that I couldn't get off. And so scared that I would turn out like my mom. Mm-hmm. And so I started working out at the YMCA, didn't really have a background in fitness at all. And my friends were like, you would be a really great personal trainer. I'm like, that is hysterical. That is not at all what I thought. I was a stay-at-home mom and had a history of working in customer service. I had waited tables since I was 14. I've always loved people. And I thought, well, maybe I could do that. I'm still working with people, but I'm just serving up something else besides food, right? And so the YMCA offered a $50 certification, and I thought, well, I could try it, and if I stink at it, it's okay. It's just $50. And so Josh was like, go for it. Mm-hmm. And 10 years later, you know, well, actually that was in January of 2008 that I became a personal trainer. And I only had about 10 hours a week at that time to work because my son was in preschool. Mm. And so my schedule filled up really quickly. And then, like you mentioned, I mean, the certifications just kept coming. So I have oodles of them as I got interested in triathlon and bodybuilding and nutrition and behavioral. And
yeah, some people collect coins. Some people collect snow globes.
Yeah. So that was my way to go to school. I didn't go to college. So it's always been my way to continue to learn and continue to hone my craft and also not get bored. Because I think sometimes when you have one thing that you're doing all the time, at least for me, I'm very type A, I'm an extrovert, and I really like to have new things that I continue to learn and implement. Sometimes it is to my detriment because then I can't be laser focused on any one thing.
Right.
But then after I became a personal trainer and adding all these other things, that was in 2011, I became a health coach. So that was my next kind of big certification. And I've been coaching with OptaVia since 2011. And that was how I was able to help my mom. So my mom actually lost 70 pounds back in 2011. And my mom became a health coach. So we've worked together for the last 12 years, actually, now. And it's been really fun to see her embrace. She was always health-minded. It just she never could find something that worked for her. And understanding OptaVia is all about lifestyle change, but ultimately stabilizing your blood sugar and eating six times a day, balancing your blood sugar, and finding ways to implement that in your life. And so it's been a really fun journey of coaching clients and other coaches around the country and being able to travel and do different conventions together. And so my mom, I would say, was my main reason for getting into fitness, but the kids were more of why we opened Rise Coffee and Tea. So I remember thinking to when Josh and I actually opened Shine in 2013, we were painting one of the walls and I was looking at the Keurig and I remember saying to Josh, well, I guess this is as close as we're getting to a coffee shop. Yeah. And because I'm looking at the Keurig going, this is not what I had anticipated. We're opening this wellness center. And I really thought maybe I would open a coffee shop one day.
Right.
And I just have always loved coffee shops. I was mentored by a woman, my spiritual mentor, at a coffee shop once a week when I was growing up. And so that's always been a love of mine. Of course, love coffee. And so, but it was not in the cards for us. And yet the Lord just was putting that on my heart for many years after we had already done these other things. And I was like, no, there's no margin. There's no margin. There's no money. There's no time. Like we're tapped out. Mm-hmm. And yet it continued to surface. And that, you know, when you're feeling called to do something and you're not being obedient, the unrest just gets to you. And so I remember saying to Josh, I just can't shake this. I really feel like we're supposed to open a coffee shop. And he's like, that is crazy. I'm like, I know. Like, this is not what I would like to be doing either, because where are the resources going to come from? And so I really felt like the Lord was going to provide the people that could do the work with us. Sure. And so through the years, he has provided those people. And but it was a tough ride. We started looking for property in 2019, found property in December 2019, and then we were grand opening March 21 of 2020. Mm. Which, if you all remember what happened that week,
yeah.
It was a lovely week to open a business. So that was really challenging for Josh and I to feel like we had obeyed the Lord to do what he had called us to do. And then here's COVID shutting everything down. Mm. And so it has definitely been a faith walk. And we're really grateful that he's provided the right people and the resources to be able to stay open. And it's just turned out looking a little differently than we had expected.
To back up, you know, you mentioned just going to the Y and getting a certificate.
Yeah.
And then years later, it becoming this whole thing. And Christian and I were just talking this morning in the kitchen about making these what seem like meaningless decisions.
Yeah.
Or things, it's no big deal, like an afterthought decision, which then puts you in a trajectory.
Absolutely.
You know, like me sitting here right now is one of those things where I was like, oh, I guess I'll go to Atlanta, you know? And there's so many of those in my life, but when you step back and look at that, it's really cool to see how that happened for you.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Rise, and I guess it was 2 months ago or so, me and my girlfriend were thrift store shopping, and I think she'd driven by it before, and we were like, oh, well, let's go check this place out. And I got too strong of a drink. It was like it was a cold brew with an espresso shot.
Oh yeah.
And the cashier said, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "No, I can handle the caffeine. I'll be fine." And it was not. I was like shaking. And but what I noticed is that and we talked about Meredith on the phone, and she was amazing and like upsold us and. I was like, as soon as I had the interaction with her and saw everyone working, I was like, this is a story. This is beautiful. And I went back in and got your card. Cause I was like, this needs to be shared with people.
Thank you.
So can you, so you'd mentioned on the phone, like what Meredith was like before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think there's some other individuals that came in a certain way and are there or left completely different. Can you talk about some of that transformation?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been fun to interview people with special needs in the sense that sometimes their mom is who wants them to get a job. And you're always, it's always fun to hear. I remember this one girl I was interviewing and she looked down the whole time and she told me she had autism and she was very little growly almost.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, tell me why you want to work here. And she's like, well, my mom wants me to get a job here. Just super blunt. And I go, oh, do you like people? And she goes, nope. I said, well, it might be a little difficult to work at the coffee shop because we're around people all the time. I said, but if you could do any job, what would you like to do? And she lit up and looked at me and said, I would love to work with animals.
Wow.
That, I mean, like her whole countenance changed when I asked her what she wanted to do. And I said, wow, I think you could be a great vet tech.
Sure.
And I would you like me to talk to your mom about what it would look like for you to be a vet tech? And she was so excited. So here comes her mom, like, how's the interview? And I'm like, well, she would love to be a vet tech. And I think that's a great opportunity for her.
Yeah. I referred her to vet school. We're going to.
But
that's cool.
So through the years, I think we currently have 18 or 19, okay, what we call baristas. So typical coffee shops call them baristas.
Yeah.
We call them,
yeah,
baristas because we're Rise Coffee and Tea. And our baristas range from having Down syndrome to different syndromes that look a little bit like cerebral palsy, to autism, to really just having learning disabilities or hearing difficulties. Mm-hmm. So all of it is that they're at Rise because when they were looking for another job, other places either weren't a good fit for them, it wasn't a safe environment for them, or their parents wanted something different for them, or they just liked Rise. And so Meredith came to us very shy. I remember interviewing, I interviewed her before we were open, and there's a Dunkin' Donuts across the street from Rise, you know, placed very well. And so we met at the Dunkin' Donuts interviewing for this position.
For the
and
new coffee shop.
She, yeah, right.
That's great.
And she was so nervous. She was shaking and very shy. And I could tell her mom really wanted her to have this job. And I'm new at this, going, what is happening? Like, she is so petrified about getting this job. Like, I don't know how this is going to work. And her mom talked to me afterwards and said she had cried the whole way because she was so nervous because she really wanted the job, but she was so nervous because she has some learning difficulties and some issues with her vision. But she was just painfully shy. Mm. And to see what has happened over the last 3 years, I really truly believe Meredith could run our store. Mm. Like, she's just, she's a shining light. She's when the upsold your order.
Yeah. I did not plan to buy a pastry.
I mean, Meredith loves all things Rise.
Yeah.
She loves the hat you're wearing, and she'll ask you about your earrings. Mm. And if you got your ring from your grandma, and she's just very observant. Mm-hmm. And when her mom hears her at the register and interacting with customers, she's like, this is just a different person. Mm. Like, in the last 3 years, Rise has really helped her, and really not to our credit. It's really been that Meredith took the opportunity and right, has really blossomed and into a very confident young woman who can talk to anyone one-on-one,
right,
and loves to interact and ask questions, very inquisitive. And it's very fun to watch. So mom loves to talk to people about Rise and tell them Meredith's story, because the amount of confidence that has been birthed in Meredith since working at Rise has just really, truly been incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she, unlike our daughter, Becca works at Rise, and she's in all of she's kind of the face of Rise. Mm-hmm. But if I told her that she didn't ever have to go to work again, she'd be totally fine.
Yeah. Ambivalent.
She'd be like, oh, okay. You know, so she's very, agreeable. She'll do things that we ask, but she would not. Meredith would be very upset if something happened to Rise, because this is, and there's several people that feel that way. Rachel's another story that I like. Her mom had, when we interviewed Rachel, her mom had told us that she was really sassy at Publix, and so that job didn't work out for her because of her sass. I go, oh, we can handle the sass at Rise.
Bring on the sass.
Bring it on. And so we have had some, you know, issues to rein it in, but Rachel has grown immensely in how she interacts with customers, how she interacts with our staff, how she expresses her boundaries, her ability to do things independently. And so it's been really fun to watch Rachel blossom into this very independent young woman who can vocalize what her needs are, mm-hmm, but then also be able to joke and have fun And I think that's a lot of times with special people, with people that have special needs, you're not really sure what to expect. Sure. And they don't necessarily have the verbiage to express their needs either. And so there is a bit of a dance that comes with that. And our staff, our neurotypical staff that works with our baristas, we're so grateful for, and we've had a lot of really amazing people through the last 3 years work in our store. It's definitely not for the faint of heart.
Sure.
And so we're really grateful for those that have come alongside us and embraced our staff and really helped them. What we call, when we do our reviews, we say, this is where you're rising and this is where you're shining.
Nice.
So that we can work on their skills, help them work on their skills, and to let them know what we're seeing, that they're, where they're doing really well and where they have some areas to improve.
So it's, you know, you're providing an environment to allow people to take ownership and thrive and find a sense of purpose and have a community, which I think, I mean, in my own life, that's all, you know, I ever needed or need. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I work for Most Time Media, and I have some struggles in my life and with addiction and all kinds of, what are they called? Co-disorders, co-occurring disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And, but really just there's three people, Christian being one of them, that have taken time to slow down and really mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's not like a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been for me, but, you know, we were talking about this long-term trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
And that, sometimes that 1% correction over mm-hmm. a course of 10,
That's
15
right.
years is what makes the difference. And so, I think it's beautiful, and it hits home, because I love that, just allowing people to show up how they are
capable
to.
Yeah, the acceptance that we, I mean, for our neurotypical staff and our neurodivergent staff, the amount of acceptance that not only the staff has for one another, but that our customers have.
Yeah.
And so we've only had a handful of issues with customers
sure.
who maybe are in a little more hurry
yeah.
than what we can deliver.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, that I think that's really what everyone is hoping for, right? In life, is to be fully accepted as who they are, not needing to be fixed, but being loved right where you are, people that can hold space for you. And so I think that in our neck of the woods at Rise, that's what we do for people with special needs, where they have there's a wide range, and sometimes all the time you can't put somebody with Down syndrome doesn't act the same as everyone else with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. They might have some similarities, but it's all very different. And so having the ability to create a safe environment so that the parent, like we joke that our daughter Becca, if she bagged groceries at Kroger, she'd go home with somebody because she just wouldn't know the difference
yeah.
and she loves everybody.
Yeah.
And
just
so
friendly and yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that I knew that I couldn't be the only mom that felt that way. Like, I don't think my daughter could work at Kroger, and that's really the only place I saw people with special needs working.
Mm-hmm.
So as we've worked at had Rise for the last 3 years, we've now have a whole collaborative of other coffee shops that hire people with special needs and
wow.
been able to have a really great relationship with a lot of them. So through Michigan to Virginia and Florida and here. And so it's been really fun.
So, you know, I'm assuming, but you know, with your experience with your children, you kind of have, you know, more experience and background on how to, you know, you said some of these dicey situations, but what are some like tools or, like, how do you coach when you get a new employee that maybe never had a job or never had to deal with,
mm-hmm.
you know, customers like that? What
yeah,
do you do?
That's a great question. We have written a lot of procedures mm-hmm. and training manuals over the years. And so much so, we're really proud that we've been able to help another. There's a coffee shop opening in Buckhead coming up, and they've asked for some of our materials that could be helpful to them. And so we are really excited about the processes that we've developed, and a lot of it's been through trial and error because we didn't know what we were doing either. But we have training protocols for our staff, and we have different lists for our baristas to follow, and they typically, we love the buddy procedure where mm-hmm. we have a buddy work with our baristas. And then there are some baristas that end up not needing a buddy, and so they can work independently. And some of our staff still needs that one-on-one. And we love the buddy because our daughter, Becca, again, loves to imitate people. So when you're working with Becca, she can imitate what you're doing. And there are definitely tasks she can do independently. But if we tell her to go, hey, can you go over into Shine and change the laundry? She can do laundry at home, but doing laundry at Shine would be she didn't need to do that 10 times over with a buddy to get into that routine. And so she works 2 to 4 hours a week. So there's really not the longevity of, or the ability in hours to be able to do that, which is the case for a lot of our staff.
Sure.
So consistency on a daily basis is really helpful for people with special needs. So when they don't have a job every day at the exact same time for the exact same hours. So, I mean, that's not how life works, but that is what a lot of people with special needs need. Mm-hmm. And so in an environment like this, like what we have at Rise, Becca having somebody do it with her, she can do it and have some oversight and guidance and the being together. And that's what we love to see, is that doing life together. And then the buddy gets to then be a light for Becca.
Yeah.
And then she gets to imitate and then have that inclusion too.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So for, not just for Rise, but I guess for NRT and so it's Shine Wellness and Rise Coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What's the, like, you know, your personal 1, 5, 10 year goal, the overarching goal for your place in the community or the nation, or, you know?
It's a loaded question, yeah. Kale, as I look at my husband. So Rise Coffee and Tea, so I'll start with Rise. Rise was personally owned by my husband and I for the first 3 years. And then we decided that in order for Rise to continue to what Rise could be, we really needed to become a nonprofit. Mm. So we avoided that because that was something I didn't know. And I didn't want to have to learn some new things. That was not a time I was ready for a new certification. But decided that for the sake of Rise, we wanted to move forward and become a nonprofit. So we finalized that in February of this year. So I've been acting in the role as an executive director for the last, 10 months, I think it is. And we have been able to raise money, and we've done some different campaigns. And so Rise is in a really sweet spot. There's a family, Jason and Anita Acree, have come along. They were going to open a coffee shop in Kennesaw,
okay.
but they really wanted to open a Rise. So I invited them to become a part of what we were doing to then birth another location out of our current business. And so Jason is now the president of Rise Coffee and Tea, and then Anita is in training to take over my role as the executive director.
Okay, cool.
And so that passed off is in the works. I'll, of course, still be involved. Rise and Shine actually share French doors and a conference room. Mm-hmm. So we're not going anywhere. But Jason is wanting to figure out how to retain me on the board. So we'll see if he gets his way in that. But so as far as longevity for Rise, our plan would be to open a location in Kennesaw within the next year. Mm-hmm. And then there's been some requests for a Rise in several other locations. So that would be our ultimate goal, would be to find other families that have, like Jason and Anita have a son with autism. And that is really their drive to be in the Rise family and then plant. They live in Kennesaw. And so then the next goal would be, who else is in our world that is maybe living in downtown Marietta? And does that family have a heart to start a Rise in the square? And so seeing where God opens up opportunities for us, where there is another family, because I really think it takes that type of heart and connection to open, to lay the groundwork mm-hmm. in the community for that. So that's where RISE is going, we believe, in the next 5 years at least. And then SHINE, as I mentioned, has been open since 2013. We've had lots of ups and downs with subcontractors and employees, and now we're back to subcontractors where we do personal training and therapy and then nutrition coaching. And so I've been in the industry for a long time, and my world is going more towards the corrective side. I work with a lot of people that have injuries and scar tissue okay. and pain and stuff like that. And then my staff is working more on the small group training, personal training side, where I want to be moving more into the role of oversight, and then the NRT and nutrition therapy, and then working with people that have more of the issues, where I'm working with a guy right now that had ACL surgery many years ago and has a lot of scar tissue that causes a lot of pain, and he can't fully straighten his leg. Well, now it's causing issues up his back and into his neck. And so he's seen me 3 times, and he's already seeing so much relief and yeah. mobility improvements. And so it's so fun to see that the work, the years of certifications, and I say lots of experience from just touching a lot of bodies mm-hmm. that I'm able to help people get some restoration in their bodies. Right. And then of course they're changing their diet and they're working on their hydration, like yeah. all these healthy habits that all fall in line too. And so that's kind of what we're anticipating for SHINE. My nutrition business is actually housed. It's actually another business called Lighthouse Nutrition, but it's housed within SHINE.
Okay.
And so my goal would be to be doing more of that, and then having my staff run SHINE. So
cool.
That's the ultimate goal. I am, SHINE is actually, we're all certified through the National Academy of Sports Medicine, and we do what's called gym internship. So internship, but it's called a gym internship.
You guys
internship.
Are the pun right now. You guys got the...
I mean...
Baristas.
Gym internship. That's actually a NASM pun, but we are a location for gym internship.
Okay.
So NASM reaches out to me. I'm a master trainer with NASM. So they reach out to me to put their recent graduates that are certified personal trainers that come out of the NASM program, and then they do their gym internship with us.
Wow.
And so I do a lot of mentorship. I actually prefer green trainers to have them come in and yeah. learn. The NASM has a very specific protocol for personal training. So we only train that way at SHINE.
Okay.
Where other places maybe have the background of NASM, and then they, which is great, they find their own way. I like to train my clients like this. This is what I've seen be beneficial, which is awesome. Just at SHINE, we only coach and train the NASM way.
Sports medicine?
So it's, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
I was thinking about, you know, the first thing I noticed when I walked in was there was maybe 12 older ladies at the back.
Oh, the knitting club.
They were knitting. and you know, it's one of those things that I saw, and then I went, wait, hold on. What? You know, it's like a large group. And, that's another thing that, you know, when I see spaces being used for the community,
yeah,
that's when I go, oh, you know, there's something going on here where people feel comfortable to come in, or that mm-hmm. they're allowed to come in. And, you know, I can't imagine 12 ladies sitting in a Dunkin' Donuts knitting.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like, as far as your involvement in the community in that aspect and, you know, offering your space with the conference room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have I have a huge heart for small business. Mm-hmm. I remember when I opened SHINE, my business coach in my health coaching company took me to a BNI, so Business Networking International. And I was like, you want me to stand up and talk about myself for 60 seconds? Like, I cannot tell people what I do like that. And she's like, well, you're gonna have to learn. Mm. So I remember that was in 2013. And just through the years of being, a part of BNI and different networking groups. I'm like, when we were opening the coffee shop, I'm like, we have to have a space for networking groups to come, because that is the way to just develop relationships mm-hmm. with people, is the best way to get referrals.
Yeah.
So you can't, I think Facebook and Google and all that's great, but word of mouth advertising is the best, and you do that through referral and relationships. Mm-hmm. And so that was originally the heart of the conference room. Well, now we have groups of moms that come in that have kids with, there's a group called Bridges to Understanding that uses that room. We have knitting clubs. We have all women's, it's called East Cobb Women in Business. They come once a month, and people rent the room for baby showers and, I mean, graduations and parties. And so it's been really fun to have a space that people can rent and have it and know that the space is available for them. But then also to have it be when the door is open, like the knitting club, they keep the door open so people come and knit with them.
Sure.
So that they continue to grow the group, but also be open to other people joining them that maybe don't have anybody to knit with. So yeah. I don't know how to knit.
I asked them that.
I'm like, are you willing to keep the door open so that people can knit with you? So they don't actually rent the room is rentable, but when the door is open, it's inclusive.
Gotcha.
And so when the door is open and they want to sit in there, then they can, as long as they allow other people to knit.
Yeah. So I think this was really more of a thing that I was wondering when we were on the phone was, first of all, I feel like the terminology changes so much. And so I feel ignorant, you know, just because it's...
Yeah.
I don't want to offend anybody, and it's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
And so, like, what is the appropriate terminologies? And, yeah.
Well, then I remember when Becca was growing up and people would say, your special needs baby is so pretty. And I'd be like, what? And they'd say,
you mean my baby.
Your special needs. I'm like, you mean my baby that has special needs? And I didn't even know that that was I just knew that that didn't sound right to me.
Yeah.
When people would say that, and come to find out, there's this thing called people first language. Mm. And so for years, I've been educating people about people first language. My daughter, Becca, who has Down syndrome, mm-hmm. or who has special needs. My son has autism. He is autistic, but you know, my autistic son, Jacob, like you wouldn't say that.
Right.
My son has autism.
Right.
You know, it's just a different... And I will say not every parent speaks that way. It just happens to be what lands well for me, and I subscribe to people first language. Mm-hmm. But come to find out, the saying that your child has special needs is not even the new terminology. Is supposed to be neurodivergent, that when their brains work differently.
Okay.
Right? And through the years, I keep thinking, I'm pretty sure we're all neurodivergent.
Yeah, somewhere. I am.
I'm sensing that you might be spectrum-y. There might be some spectrum stuff going on.
Yeah.
And I believe, so again, I'm in the nutrition world, mm-hmm. but the way that I believe, especially here in America, how our food is made and processed, that I have to believe that there's a lot of our spectrum-y stuff going on that has to do with a lot of the way that our bodies are responding to food. Mm. And I know that firsthand, because when our son was probably like 10, we like fully went gluten and dairy free, which was so hard for our whole family. But we saw huge changes in him. Right?
Okay.
So neurodivergent, his brain works differently.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when people have autism, they can't process casein that's in dairy and gluten that's a protein. And so it actually, especially the casein, doesn't get digested well. And so it ferments and it causes a morphine-like effect on the brain, which is they kind of check out. That's what my son used to do. He'd look off into the distance. He had a very hard time doing this. He can now look you in the eye.
Yeah.
But when he was younger, he would look off in the distance and stim and mm-hmm. talk to himself. And we could see that it was worse when he had cheese. Mm. And he would only want cheese like an addiction.
Because it was giving him that...
morphine-like effect. Correct.
Yeah.
Like that makes sense. That's the way... That's why I mean, drugs are so addicting because it does something to your brain that craves more. And it's the same thing that happens when somebody with autism can't process dairy that way. So it doesn't happen to everybody, but I think there are some other people who may not process dairy. They don't have autism, but it's one of those typical things that can happen with autism. Yeah. Okay. But I do want to mention that I appreciate you saying you don't want to be ignorant. I've always said that I'd love for somebody to come up and ask me about Becca than to not know.
It for some reason, there's something that I have this visceral reaction when you said the thing about somebody saying your special needs baby's beautiful. Because I'm like, it's a baby.
Right.
And Christian did a documentary, and there's a friend who's, and he goes, you wouldn't say I am depression.
Correct.
Or I am anxiety. You're like, I struggle with depression. Mm-hmm. And because it's like, and we talked about it on the phone. It's like, this isn't who I am. This isn't my identity. Mm-hmm. Like whatever the thing is, like everyone has a thing, right?
Right.
For my grandpa's, he's addicted to ice cream and eating ice cubes, which he might have an iron deficiency.
There's something for that.
Yeah. But it's like we're so quick to label and to put people as a society, we're quick to put people in a box and say, this is where you fit and don't get outside of there. And if you do, then we'll have to put you in this other box. And I think that like people are people, you know, and everyone has a little bit of that person in them somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's important from what my limited knowledge is to like really be like, people first language.
Yeah. And I do think because like you can become a special ed teacher,
sure,
that I think that there's part of where people put that in the same context. Like I'm a special ed teacher or I work in a special needs preschool. You wouldn't necessarily say I work in a preschool for people with special needs. Right. They would say a special needs preschool.
Okay.
But I think for me, you're not talking about a person still.
Right.
When you're a teacher, what kind of, I'm an English teacher. I'm a special ed teacher. I'm a math teacher. So just the focus of what you do as a teacher versus talking about a person.
Yeah.
So it often for me was your Down's baby. That's usually what she got called. Your Down's baby. I'm like, no, thank you.
She has a name.
Becca Grace.
That's a good segue into, I don't know if it's something, okay. It is an uncomfortable dialogue to start.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, there's probably a lot of reasons for that. I think I'm afraid of offending somebody. I'm afraid of looking dumb or being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's two things that happen, and it's people stay ignorant and do that intentionally so that they can, you know, not have to change or it just doesn't get talked about or somebody's, you know. So what are some things that, especially being a mother, that the community, friends, we here can help educate people? Because like it's just people are people. And so what are some things that can, you know, help break the stigma in that sense?
That's a great question. I think that it's definitely different for everybody in the sense that typically people with Down syndrome are known to be happy-go-lucky and they love to give you hugs. And, you know, people often say they just have this like magic or this special thing about them. Well, you don't really hear people talking about autism like that.
Okay.
Right. Autism is very, lots of anxiety. People with autism have anxiety and they're kind of weird and they do. And I say that cause that's what my son is called. Like, and you know, there's these behaviors that are unexplainable. And I, even as a mom, have felt like I need to, I don't want to say give excuses for him, but that's kind of like how I feel, like to warn someone, like he doesn't have good observation skills. So when we're walking in the store, he'll walk in somebody's path and just walk right into them. Not being rude, but just because he's completely not observant to know that he's walking in someone's path and will not, he will unintentionally walk into someone, and people do, you know, people get offended because he doesn't look like he has special needs.
Right.
And so I think as a mom, that's tough because if it was Becca, they could tell that she was, looks different. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think there's that in the sense that, especially with autism, that there's some unexplained behaviors that can be very socially unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And that's, to be fair, probably the biggest struggle that our son has is that he does have a lot of behaviors that are socially unacceptable. He has a full-time job at McDonald's. And I remember going and talking to his GM, who was not a huge fan of originally hiring him. And I remember saying, I thought you guys told me that you have experience working with people with autism. Like, I didn't think I had to explain this because I asked you if you did and you said yes, you hired him. So,
yeah.
And they're like, well, not like this. I'm like, okay, well, tell me some things. Well, when he goes to the bathroom, he's gone for like 25 minutes. I'm like, give him some, he needs very specific guidelines. Dude, buddy, you have 2 minutes in the bathroom. Mm. And then he's like, oh, I'm like, and when he takes out the trash, you say you go to put out the trash and you come right back. You're in the dining room. If you want him to look in the case, he actually takes orders at the register. And he's like, he doesn't come back to the register and there's guests waiting. I go, tell him, buddy, you get 2 minutes in the dining room to check and then go back to the register. So now they're calling him in to work extra shifts because when given very specific boundaries and specifications of what is expected, he can over execute every time. But with a what, like he wouldn't come up with that on his own. Right. And so there is some sense of like, the education component of now Jacob is their favorite employee, where before they weren't sure they wanted him to work.
Because he didn't know how to interact.
And they would expect that he would know. I mean, you and I would expect him to know that.
Sure, yeah.
Like, so what? You have autism. You don't spend 25 minutes in the bathroom, right? I mean, there are things, I think there's a lot of, and the expectations really get us all into trouble, right? I would expect that this would happen this way. Mm-hmm. And so when someone, you know, when you're walking into a store and you're with someone and they walk in and the door slams back at you, you would expect that someone would not let the door slam on you, that they would hold the door open. You're walking in together.
Especially if you're in the South. I don't know.
Of course. But like just things like that, that there's an expectation level that we have socially about being more inclusive of others and valuing relationships. And there's not as much of that. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't make it wrong. It's just how the world, that's how a lot of people with autism see the world. Mm-hmm. And so that's not as accepted in the world. So there's not as much inclusion because it's different. And so I think from an education perspective, at least what we educate a lot around at RISE is having patience and holding space for where people are, in the sense that like we have a girl who is a little bit harder to understand. And so I can tell people are feeling like you, this, I feel kind of bad that I don't really know what you said. Mm-hmm. This is me. You're going to have to try it again. I don't know what you just said.
Right.
That's what I tell her.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad. I'm like, you need to speak up a little bit and I need you to use really, you know, I need you to enunciate so I can understand you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's because it's my personality or if it's because I'm a mom and I'm like, listen, I know you can do better than that. Like, let's try again.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really what's in the community given me maybe a little edge, in the sense that I believe that when people are given the right environment, they can do a lot more than what I think most people expect. Mm. And so in the sense that when my son lets the door close on me, I'll say, you want to try that again and open the door for me? thanks.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just going in myself because I'm irritated that he did that, but oh well, you know? And so I think if there's more of that, that then there's, that's education,
yeah,
maybe in a playful way. Like there's a girl, I know there's a one of our staff, I don't know, how do I explain him? I train his mom. So I talk to his mom about him because he comes and works at Rise, and he also trains, does personal training.
Okay.
And I'll say, so such and such happened with your son today, and this is how I handled it. And she's like, that's awesome. Like, she's so excited that I'm like, listen, buddy, you're going to need to do X. And I won't give the exact thing that happened, but it was, we had a little incident.
Sure.
And I'm like, next time, this is what you're going to be expected to do. You good with that? And he's like, yes, ma'am. Like, and so I think that there's this, I don't know if you get away with that somewhere else, but you're not going to get away with that here. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's why a lot of parents want their kids in our world, is because then when I hold that standard, of course my staff does as well. Like, we know you can do better than that. And if you can't do better right now, we're going to teach you.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, which is fine.
Give you the space, be patient enough to help.
We're going
to
love you there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to love you there, but we're also going to elevate you because you do have to live in a world that isn't going to tolerate some of these things. And so we've got to help you. Yes, we're going to love you no matter what you do, but we are going to ask you to step up too. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a leveling up that, at least I know with our daughter, Becca, she is in Transition Academy at Pope. And they started her in, there's kind of like some levels of functioning in the group. Mm. And then when she went to this Transition Academy, they were like, well, we're going to start her in the lower group. I'm like, why? They're like, because of her scores. I'm like, ugh. I'm like, she can do whatever you set her up to do. Mm. If you expect that she's not going to do a lot, then she won't do a lot. And so sure enough, after the first year, the teacher called and she's like, so we've moved Becca up to the higher group. I'm like, thank you.
Tried to tell you.
She's like, she's doing so great. I'm like, she's doing great because because they did start to see that, yeah, if we just expect it of her, she just does it.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a lot of when we can have more of that.
Sure.
And that would be what everyone needs to know, is that I think people feel bad, or they feel ignorant, so then they avoid. So when we avoid and not interact, I really think that the community misses out, because people with special needs are extraordinary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And people are afraid of what it can be perceived as different.
That's right.
And we, you know, that person looks different than me, acts different than me, and I'm going to run away because I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, we have crosswalks, for God's sakes. I think we can kind of, it's a little safer out in the world than it used to be. But we were listening to a podcast or something the other day, and I forget the quote, but it was, you can't judge all books by its cover, and the best, or you can judge all books, you can't judge all books by their covers, and some of the best books are people.
Mm.
And I was thinking about, you know, you're talking about the difference between Becca and your son's name,
Jacob.
Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And how, you know, one could be very obvious visually or verbally, auditory, and you know, it's like helping learn and educate. I think that's important.
Yeah. I will say, if you go to the McDonald's on Crossville Road in Roswell, Jacob sings the McDonald's jingle to everyone. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. And his people at his work, Rebecca would never do that.
Yeah.
Like, Jacob is so animated, but people would not necessarily perceive him that way.
Sure.
Because it's just his autism presents in different ways, where you look at Becca and you just want to go hug her.
Yeah.
Because that's who she is.
Sure.
And so I think that what we have found, so we have four children and our two middles have special needs. What we have found parenting all of them is that they all have very unique, special things about them. Mm-hmm. And there are things that we've learned where somebody might feel, well, we have had people feel bad for us. that we have two kids with special needs. Mm-hmm. And we are blessed by it. Mm-hmm. And so we have lived our life with what we can learn from them, what we can learn by being their parents, who God's designed them to be and who he's making us to be and to be their parents, you know? And so I think when we see life like that, like God brings people in your life, your kids, your parents, whoever, that helps to refine you so that we can bring more glory to him. And so that's, I think, another opportunity that people have and why we invite people to Rise. We know that when you have an interaction with Meredith, mm-hmm. your day will be better and you'll be able to break that barrier or that feeling of not knowing or feeling ignorant judgment. Just by that one little interaction, mm-hmm. you know? So
it's funny you say that. In the recovery and addiction world, there's this, people say I'm a grateful alcoholic, and you're like, what are you talking about? And it does get a little annoying to hear after someone says it a lot, but the sentiment behind it is that, the idea is you go through the fire and then you help someone else walk through it. And I think that, you saying, you're grateful for it, it's like, well, now you are in a position to help other people in multiple different ways. Not just with transformation, but with education and, all kinds of wellness, mental and physical.
That's right.
It's pretty cool to see that parallel, and it's really beautiful stuff. So.
Thank you.
Is it this one?
For her?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is your camera.
Oh.
You're in the decadent seat of service, as our friend David says.
Okay.
So two things. If someone wanted to get in touch with you or help contribute to your cause in any way, what's the best way to do that? And you can give a plug. And also, like, if there was one thing that maybe you felt wasn't said or you want to reiterate the point of importance.
Wow. There's been a lot said already, but as far as getting in touch with me, I am an open book, so I actually prefer people text me. I can be found on Google. I can be found on Facebook. Am I supposed to look up there? I'd rather look at you.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so people can talk to me on Facebook. Nicole Shine DeWard. My maiden name is actually Shine.
Oh.
So that's where Shine Health and Wellness came from. Actually, I have a movie star name. I am Nicole Starshine DeWard.
That's not real.
So it is real. Nicole Starshine is who I was born as. And then Nicole Star DeWard sounded not right. Because I was Nicole Starshine for so long. So my license literally says Nicole Starshine DeWard. My husband can attest.
It's like you've seen Superbad, McLovin. It's like,
it is true. So Nicole Shine DeWard on Facebook. And then Google, we actually have, you can find all the websites on Facebook as well. But my cell phone's probably the easiest just to text me because I'm just that way. But 678-787-9765 is my cell. And then as far as what said of most importance, I think that as I look back, I'm a big believer in the past doesn't define our future, but it does leave clues, right? And so when we take a look at things that have happened in our past, we can have some ideas about what will happen in the future. So unfortunately for my husband, I will probably continue getting more certifications. I actually have an idea of what my next certification will be, and that's actually becoming, I can't remember what it's called. It's something with PATH. But I actually went and visited a horse barn that does hippotherapy or therapeutic riding is what it's called. And so I'm actually going to start volunteering at the Alpha Equestrian Center in Canton one day a week. And I've always loved horses. Mm-hmm. And so I came home and told my husband, okay, here's my new thing. He's like, great. So that's definitely something about me that I just am always hungry to learn and grow. Sure. And so People bring things to me all the time. Hey, will you take a look at this? Would you be interested in this? And so I'm an open book as far as that goes as well. But ultimately, what I believe is God has uniquely designed me to love people. I love people well. If people need something, I will find a resource to help in some sort of way. But ultimately, I believe that God has given me this life of having kids with special needs and having the background of just seeing and loving transformation in order for me to love others in that way, help provide hope, whether it's hope in with their kids that have special needs, whether it's hope in their healing for their body, their better mobility or weight loss or off medications, whatever is going on in their life. And so I believe I'm a great resource in that regard. And if I don't have the answer or do it, I have numerous people in my life who I'm connected to who do amazing work in a lot of these fields as well. So I am definitely not the end all be all and cannot do all things, but have a heart to be a connector in that way. And so that's one of the things I learned in networking was that I really had a heart to be the connector and connecting this person as I hear people's stories. I know this person who would be a great fit for you. And making those connections has always been really enjoyable for me. And so I think the biggest reiteration is that when people feel like there's hopelessness in the sense that maybe how their life is going, how their life has been, I'm a big believer in having faith that there's something, as you mentioned at the beginning of this, that one thing, that one decision that will change your trajectory of your future. Mm-hmm. And I have, as you, numerous stories that I can pinpoint. This one decision led me to ultimately marrying my husband. This one decision had us adopt our oldest daughter. This one decision, like these things that have happened in our lives that we believe when we walk by faith, God provides lots of opportunities for us to choose. Yeah. But yet in the end, he's already written the book. Things are already complete for us. And so I'm honored and fully surrendered to whatever his plan is. And I think from a business perspective, I operate that same way. God's going to bring the people in my life who need what we have or who feel connected for whatever reason, maybe for me to connect with somebody else. Yeah. And so that's really my heart, is to always be that voice of hope for a mom who is hurt or is feeling hopeless with their children or in their own body, or the dad who is feeling like he can't provide and he doesn't have the understanding of what's going on with their kid with special needs and how to connect. And so Josh and I just really feel like that's how God's uniquely designed our family to be that in our community.
Awesome.
So thanks so much for the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, thank you tonight for being here. And go check out Rise. Go get some coffee. See some really friendly faces. Thanks again, Nicole and her husband, for coming tonight.
Yeah.
Montana Society every Friday, coming out 8 a.m. Until the end of the year. Check out the Most High Media app. And just to stay on brand, if anyone you know is struggling, needs help, needs to talk to somebody, feel free to reach out. Contact@themosthighshow.com. You're also welcome to message us on Instagram or Facebook. And if we can't help you, we'll find somebody who can. So thank you very much.
Yeah.